I would like us this evening to consider the words that we have in the first five verses of Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The Holy Scriptures place great emphasis upon the need for God's people to pray. No matter where we turn to in God's holy word, we find men and women whose lives were lives of prayer. Abraham, the father of the faithful, was a man of prayer. For wherever he went under the guidance and direction of the Lord, there he would build an altar. And at that altar, he would call upon the name of the Lord. Abraham was a man of prayer. David, king of Israel, was often found upon his knees in prayer. For he has given us a record of his prayers in his Psalms. And he has told us Psalm 55, how often he prayed. For there in verse 17, we read, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. David was a man of prayer. Samuel was also a man of prayer because he testified before his elders, the elders of Israel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Samuel regarded it as a great sin if he didn't pray. He didn't pray for Israel. Samuel, of course, came from a home of prayer, where his mother Hannah had, of course, prayed for Samuel even long before he was born. Samuel was cradled in prayer. Hannah was a woman of prayer. What can we say about the prayer life of Daniel? For even while he was in captivity, there in Babylon, he did not break the habit of prayer. Daniel 6 and verse 10, we read, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Daniel was a man of prayer. And in the words of Hebrews 11:32, what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, of Samson and Jephthah. We may add to that the name of Paul, and of course our dear Savior himself. They were all men of prayer. What of ourselves? Do we give much time prayer? And when we do pray, what happens to those prayers? Are those prayers forgotten? Do those prayers, as it were, fall to the ground? Do those prayers ever reach heaven? Are those prayers ever heard in heaven? After all, over the course of our Christian life, we have offered many prayers to the Lord, uttered many prayers. Some of them have been answered, but others were still awaiting an answer. What has happened to those prayers? I believe our text gives us some of the answers regarding our prayers. Those words that we uttered before the throne of grace, those words that came from our lips as we knelt at the throne of grace, hear our text this evening, tells us what happened to those prayers. And what will happen to the prayers that we offer to the Lord in the days to come? What is revealed before us here in this passage of Scripture regarding our prayers ought to encourage us. And encourage us to give even more time to prayer. Let us consider our prayers and what happens to them once they go from our hearts, go from our lips. First of all, we see here in these verses our prayers and their place before the Lord. Our prayers and their place before the Lord. John is here, of course, giving us a record of things that he saw. Things that he saw taking place in heaven. Things that he heard in heaven. John wrote them down, and here we have them before us in this wonderful book of the Revelation. And when John saw the Lamb open the seventh seal of the book of God, he saw an angel. We're told in verse 3, he saw an angel with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now here we see immediately. Here we see immediately the acceptance of our prayers. Remember, John is recording those things that he saw in heaven. And what did he see? He saw an angel with the prayers of all the saints. And he saw those prayers being placed upon the golden altar before the throne. And he saw those prayers being offered up before God. So here we have the acceptance of our prayers. For of our prayers, of the prayers of the saints, are in heaven. And that means our prayers have been accepted. Yes, the Lord has accepted those prayers we offered from stammering lips. Those prayers that we uttered, and we could hardly get a sentence put together. We could hardly make ourselves clear when we came before God to pray. Those prayers are in heaven. Those prayers have been accepted. Those prayers we offered when we felt little or no liberty at the throne of grace. I have all been in those kind of prayer meetings. And they've longed for liberty and prayer, and it hasn't been there. And my, we wondered, would those prayers ever be heard in heaven? Well, here we are. The prayers of all saints upon the golden altar. Those prayers were also accepted. And you remember those times when you prayed? And you felt as though the very heavens were as brass. You felt that your prayers didn't go any higher than the ceiling of the building that you were meeting in. Dear child of God, those prayers have also been accepted. John saw them in the hand of an angel before the throne, the golden altar. Yes, and those prayers you uttered and felt they had fallen on deaf ears. Those prayers you had offered and you felt they just merely fell to the ground. We read here in this third verse that John saw another angel come and stand at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And so, dear child of God, take heart. Tonight, those prayers that you offered and wondered, would they ever be heard? Oh, yes, they're heard all right. Because John saw them there on the altar, the golden altar in heaven. And we also have the assembly and their prayers. Here is something that ought to encourage us all. For John saw the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar. He saw the prayers of all saints. Not just some of the saints. Not just the prayers of the strongest saints. But he saw the prayers of all saints. Now, if he saw the prayers of all saints, does that not include every one of us here? Who are the blood-bought children of God? If he saw the prayers of all saints, does that not include every member in the body of Christ? Of course it does. Dear child of God, we see here that no saint is left out. Every member of the body of Christ is included. So your prayers and my prayers have been accepted. Where are they? There's a place for them. They're on the golden altar in heaven. The prayers of all saints. Prayers of strong saints are there. Those who are strong in faith. Those who can ask anything from God, their prayers are there. Prayers of weak saints. Saints who lament their lack of faith. Saints who lament their little faith. They wonder, even the time, should they pray at all? Because their faith is so weak. Our text tells me that the prayers of all saints, the strong and the weak, are there. They're the prayers of young saints. They who have just started out in the Christian life. Those words that came from their lips when they were babes in Christ. They hardly knew how to pray. You know what it was like. Just had been made a child of God, just saved. You attended the church prayer meeting and you wanted to pray, And for weeks you wanted to pray, and then one night you got up the courage and the Lord gave you the grace. You uttered a few sentences. Maybe you were discouraged and said, "Oh, I made a fool of myself. I can't pray like that aged saint over there. My, you want to hear him pray. What would my prayers be? I can't pray like that brother or that sister." Well, here the Bible tells me it was the prayers of all saints. Prayers of the babes in Christ. Those prayers are in heaven. Those prayers are on the golden altar there before the throne. And the prayers of aged saints. Perhaps all saints of God who cannot do the things they once were able to do for God because of the weakness of the body, because of their infirmities. Oh, but they can pray. Thank God for the prayers of the aged saints. Yeah, those prayers are also before the throne. They're on the golden altar as well. The prayers of dying. Going swiftly down the valley with their faces toward the setting of the sun. And as they wait at the edge of the chilly waters of Jordan, they're waiting their home calling to pour out their hearts to God. With their dying breath, they pray to God those prayers. On the golden altar before the throne of God. Yea, the prayers of the suffering saints and the prayers of the sorrowing saints and the prayers of the lonely saints, they're all there. God has heard every one of them and God has accepted every one of them because we read the prayers of all saints. There upon the golden altar in heaven. So we have then the assembly and their prayers. We have the acceptance of their prayers. And then we have the altar and their prayers. We're told that the incense with the prayers of all saints were placed upon the golden altar. This reminds us of the golden altar that Moses made when the tabernacle was built there in the wilderness. If you turn, please, to Exodus 30. And there in Exodus chapter 30, the Lord gives instruction to Moses regarding the building of the golden altar. Now, the golden altar was placed in the holy place. And it was placed just before the veil that divided the holy place from the holy of holies. The golden altar was really the altar of incense. And we read in chapter 30 of Exodus in verse 1, "And I shall make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it." And then the measurement given in verse 2. In verse 3 we read, "And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof, round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about." And this golden altar, as we've said, was placed before the wonderful and the beautiful veil. On the other side of the veil was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And the Lord told Moses that whenever he would build this altar and place it in the holy place, verse 6, And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps, and he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, and perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And so the golden altar was placed in the holy place just before the veil, and the other side of the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat where the Lord had promised to meet with His people. Hebrews 8 and verse 5, we are told that the pattern that was given to Moses was simply a pattern of heavenly things. It was a pattern of the heavenly tabernacle. And so when Moses saw to it that the golden altar was made in the wilderness, Moses was reminded of the golden altar that would be in heaven. And here we have it in Revelation 8. It's the golden altar, and there it is in heaven. And we're told that the angel came with incense, just as the high priest did in the days of Moses, came with the incense and placed it upon the golden altar. And the hot coals that were on the golden altar caused the holy place to be filled with the smoke and the perfume of the incense. The golden altar reminds us very much of prayer. You turn, please, to the book of Psalms. And to Psalm 141. David was very aware of the significance of the golden altar and the burning of the incense, because in Psalm 141, there we read in the opening verse, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands at the evening sacrifice. Let's just say a few more things about the golden altar. There was nothing to be offered. No blood sacrifice was ever to be offered upon the golden altar. Nothing but incense. But once a year, when the high priest would go into the holiest of all, he would take the blood of the bullock or the blood of the lamb that had been offered on the brazen altar out in the outer court. He would take that blood, and on his way into the holy place, he would sprinkle the blood upon the horns of the golden altar. And then he would proceed with the blood into the holiest of all. And there he would sprinkle the mercy seat with the blood. There's another connection between the brazen altar and the golden altar. Whenever the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifices were offered to God on the brazen altar, the high priest would bring the coals from the brazen altar and go into the holy place, and he would put the hot coals upon the golden altar, and then he would sprinkle the incense upon hot coals in the golden altar. And he would sprinkle the blood on the four corners of the golden altar, sprinkle the blood on the horns of the altar. And while there was no offering, no blood offering to be made to the Lord upon the golden altar, yet you can see the connection between the brazen altar and the golden altar. The incense speaks to us of prayer. The brazen altar would speak to us of Calvary. The blood of the slain lamb would speak to us of the blood of Christ. And dear child of God, it is upon the grounds of the blood of Jesus Christ that our prayers are accepted by the Lord. That is how our prayers came to be upon the golden altar in heaven. Because of what took place at Calvary. It's because of the blood. Because of the fire that burned at Calvary. The fire of God's wrath and God's anger. When the high priest brought those hot coals into the holiest of all and put them in the golden altar and then put the incense upon those hot coals. Symbolic of the fire of God's wrath and anger that fell on Jesus Christ. And when he sprinkled the blood upon the horns of the altar, he would speak to us of the blood that was shed at Calvary. And dear child of God, it is upon that ground and that ground alone that our prayers are ended. That's how our prayers come to be in heaven. That's how John was able to see the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. Our prayers reached heaven because of what Christ did at Calvary. Our prayers are not acceptable in the eyes of God because of some church or some denomination. Because of anything in us, our prayers are accepted by God because of what Christ has done. So, dear child of God, pray on. Pray on. Keep on praying. For your prayers are in heaven when they're offered on the ground and in the merits of not only do we see here our prayers and their place before the Lord, but we see here also our prayers and their preciousness to the Lord. How precious are the prayers of God's people in the eyes of God Himself. In verse 4 we are told, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Revelation 8 and verse 4. Notice here then our prayers and their sweetness. "And the smoke of the incense which came with prayers of the saints." There you have the sweetness of our prayers. Where did this incense come from? It was given to the angel by the Lord Himself. Look again at verse 3. "And another angel," note, "another angel came," not one of the seven. "Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him." There was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. It was the Lord who gave the incense to the angel. Dear child of God, it is Jesus Christ who sweetens our prayers and makes them acceptable to God. Christ is the one who sweetens them. Christ is the one who, as it were, adds the incense. And because we pray in Jesus' name, the sweetest of all names, that's how our prayers come to be upon the golden altar in heaven.
how our prayers appear in heaven is because of Christ. He adds the sweetness. He is our mediator. He is our great high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. His intercession on our behalf is the sweetness. And how sweet they are before the God of heaven, because they're offered with this incense. Christ adds the incense. Christ adds the sweetness to our prayers. Not only do we have our prayers and their sweetness, we have our prayers and their store. When the Lamb was first given the book of God to open, we're told that the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They worshipped the Lamb, but the 24 elders had something in their hands. What did they have in their hands? Turn back to Revelation 5. There in Revelation 5 and verse 8, we read, "And when they had taken the book that is Christ, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." And so in the hands of the 24 elders, we read there were golden vials. And what were in the golden vials? In the golden vials were the prayers of the saints. In fact, we read here that the golden vials were full of prayers. So here we have the prayers of the saints. We think they fall on deaf ears. The devil will come and tell us the Lord will never hear your prayer. And those times when we prayed and felt as though the heavens were as brass, and those times we prayed and there was no liberty in prayer, and we thought to ourselves, God will never hear, never mind except. Here they are. They're in the golden vials before the throne. They're stored in heaven. They're put in golden vials. That tells us how precious our prayers are to the Lord. I can never read these words without thinking about those visits to Israel and to Jerusalem and to the Wailing Wall. I remember standing there with the Reverend Irwin, watching the Orthodox Jews as they stood at the Wailing Wall, writing out their prayers and placing their prayers in a little piece of paper and then putting it into the cracks in the wall. Could see all across that Wailing Wall all these little pieces of paper. And then, as our brother and I stood there, we saw one of the city councillors or the city workers coming along and clearing up all the debris and the garbage. And this particular man this day had a hose in his hand and he was hosing down that area around the Wailing Wall. Just where our brother Irvin and I stood, there was a drain. And along with all the other garbage that went down into that drain, I stood and watched all these little pieces of paper with all the prayers on them going down the drain. Thank God those prayers that we offer in the name of the Lord Jesus, those prayers that Christ sweetens Himself, those prayers that are accepted, those prayers are not going down the drain. Those prayers are in the golden vials of glory. They're there in heaven because they are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Those prayers we offered years ago, golden aisles in heaven. Those prayers we offered years ago, and we even tonight have forgotten them. Those prayers you offered and this evening you cannot remember. God remembers them. He has them stored in the golden aisles in heaven. Those things you prayed about years ago, you stopped praying about that matter. Of those, has the Lord cast those prayers to one side? Not at all. They're in the golden vials. Remember, it's the prayers of all saints. They're rather in the golden vials in heaven. Our prayers are stored there. The prayers we have forgotten, the Lord hasn't. And someday the Lord will answer that prayer that you have forgotten about. He will. The prayers that you offered years ago and you can't even remember them now, the Lord will answer those prayers one day. And then you have our prayers and our song. Look again at Revelation 5. And when he had taken the book and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, they sung a new song. Along with the prayers being brought before the Lamb, along with the prayers, dear child of God, when we pray, our prayers should always be accompanied by praise. Turn, please, to the book of Philippians, the Epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6 there we read, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." There's the prayers and there's the praise. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And there the 24 elders held in their hands the golden vials of the prayers of all the saints, and along with the prayers that praise was directed at the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. O believer, when we come to pray and we direct our prayers to the Lamb, let us not forget to direct our praise to the Lamb. Paul, of course, practiced this himself. Remember that night he was shut up with Silas in the prison at Philippi. But at midnight, he prayed and sang praises unto God. That's what sweetens our prayers. That's what sweetens our prayers as far as the Lord is concerned. That's what makes them precious. Then we have here, finally, our prayers and their power. Out of these words in Revelation 8, not remind us of the power of prayer. For we read in verse 4, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." There is the power of prayer. First of all, we'll notice that when these prayers were presented to the Lord before the golden altar, along with the incense, you will notice that there was action in heaven. We read at the beginning of the chapter that when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. What was it that stirred heaven? The prayers of the saints. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful truth. How often have you prayed? And you prayed and you prayed, but there's been no answer. Heaven. Prayed for revival and prayed for revival, but heaven has remained silent. But no answer. And dear child of God, there's nothing, but nothing that will stir heaven but the prayers of God's people. So let us keep at praying. You remember when Elijah prayed? When Elijah prayed, there was action in heaven. There was activity in heaven. Because fire fell from heaven, licked up the water of Elijah's sacrifice and consumed the sacrifice. When the Lord Jesus prayed, there was activity in heaven. Turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke. And there in Luke chapter 3, we have a record of the Lord's baptism. And at the Lord's baptism, he prayed. Verse 21, Luke 3, verse 21, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened." Dear child of God, that's what will open heaven. It is the praying of God's people. Prayer opens heaven. Prayer will bring revival. Prayer will bring times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Prayer will cause heaven. See also here the answer to prayer. These prayers were brought before the Lord, the prayers of all saints were there upon the golden altar which is before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God. Then we are told that the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. What does that tell us? That tells us that God answers prayer. Why, we see the enemies of the gospel today. How we wish God would send lightning from heaven.
to behold their activity and what they're up to. We wonder why the Lord tarries so long. We wonder why the Lord is so patient. But then we've only to look to ourselves and realize how patient the Lord was with us. Dear child of God, the day is coming when our prayers against the enemies of the gospel will be answered. And God will send voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And all his and our enemies will be overthrown. And on that great and glorious and magnificent day, we'll shout hallelujah, God has answered prayer. We have the activity or the action, we have the answer, and we have the ability of prayer. Verse 5 again, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. There's the power of prayer. There's the ability of prayer. That's what prayer is able to do. Cause heaven to open. Cause there to be activity in heaven. Cause there to be voices and thunderings and lightnings. And an earthquake. All in answer to. Some of our friends and some of our loved ones. And they're like the Philippian jailer. It'll need an earthquake to awaken them. Here's the power of prayer. God is able to send the earthquake in answer to prayer. There are those today and they're stubborn and they're hard. A hard as stone. And God is able to break that heart. He's able to put an answer to prayer. That's the power of prayer. So, dear child of God, let us keep at the prayer. You never know what the Lord's going to do. You never know what is going to happen. The Lord answers prayer for us. And remember, when you pray, the prayers do not fall on deaf ears. If the Lord doesn't answer them immediately, they're still precious in His sight, and He has them in the golden vials before the throne. And one day He will answer to the glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear loving Father and eternal God, we thank Thee for the encouragement that we receive from the Word day and daily. And we thank Thee, our Father, that Thou has encouraged us tonight to pray on and to pray through. Thou hast encouraged us, Lord, and shown us that those prayers that fail, Lord, from stammering lips, those prayers that came from a heart of little faith, Lord, they're still heard in heaven because they're offered the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and are offered on the ground and the merits of the shed blood. However weak they are, however small our faith is, how we thank Thee, Lord, that Jesus hears and answers. O Lord, we thank Thee for sweetening our prayers. We thank Thee, Lord, for the incense from heaven. Thank Thee for the sweetest of all names that sweetens our prayers. So, Lord, help us to continue to pray. Give us the grace to pray on. And one day, we believe, Lord, Thou will open the heavens. Thou will rend the heavens and come down. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Gracious Lord, write the word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. May we take it home with us, meditate upon it, and receive nourishment for our souls and encouragement for our hearts. Be with us, Lord, as we travel. Yea, Lord, go before us and go with us. Keep Thy hand upon us, Lord, for good and answer prayer. Even, Lord, when we return to the Lord's house again, may we hear of answers to prayer. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now.